afternoon from the Persuaders. This is Ronan Kinahan from Vibe Training and Presentations, just standing in for Alex Gibson today. And what we're going to do today is we're going to explore two aspects, one of which is employer branding. And we're going to explore that a little bit with Niall Dowling, who works with the Atomic Advertising Agency. And soon after, we're going to talk to Tom Noonan, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about the challenges, opportunities and trends in the hot beverage market, most notably tea and coffee. Gentlemen, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
First of all, Niall, Atomic Advertising Agency, well, you've been around for, what, almost 20 years now, isn't that right?
Yeah.
You've been, through my lens, I've always seen you as a little bit as ahead of the curve in terms of very innovative, very creative. That's really been, you know, those two components, through my eyes anyway, has been at the heart and soul of the business. But in more recent times, you've done some very interesting positioning, or if you like, repositioning, most notably in 2012 with Atomic Sport, and more recently, Atomic DNA 2016. So before we take a deeper dive on Atomic DNA, could you help our listeners or remind them briefly a little bit about what Atomic Sport's been all about?
Yeah, well, the agency itself is around since 1999. As you say, we're a creative agency and advertising agency working across a broad range of sectors. That's everything from cars to ice cream to, you know, enterprise CRM software business. As you say, in the last few years, we've taken steps to change our own business model. We want to focus, we want to provide a more specialist focus and more expertise in key areas of specialization. So the first entry into that was Atomic Sport, which we founded in 2012. And Atomic Sport is really about offering specialist creative and branding services to sports brands, but also to athletes, to clubs, to rights holders or sporting organisations here in Ireland. And 4 years later, we're the largest creative agency servicing the specialist market here in Ireland. And we also have a UK business at the moment.
Okay, so certainly thought leaders within a specialist sphere of influence, if
that's
you like.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. And then Atomic DNA has just arrived on our shores, if you like. And that's all about employer branding. To some people, they're probably not too familiar with that term. What exactly to you is employer branding?
Well, employer branding really is all about how companies, organizations, employers position and promote themselves to their employees. And that might be existing employees, or it could be new employees or talent that they're trying to attract.
Okay. And who have you seen as being the main driver within that philosophy or approach to hiring? Is it tend to be driven by marketing, or is it driven by CEOs or HR?
Yeah, it's a funny one, actually, Ronan. It depends on the company that you speak to. There was a piece of research done last year by PwC, which found that 75% of CEOs are actually very worried about the availability of tech talent. So in some companies, it's actually the office of the CEO that's driving it on. In other organizations, it's the marketing department. And then again, in other organizations, it will be HR or talent. So it hasn't really found its natural home yet. From our point of view, as a marketing service provider to these companies, we need to be able to, I suppose, understand both perspectives, talent and recruitment on the one hand, but also then the area of marketing and communications and digital and social in particular.
Okay, so the main focus of employer branding would be the different types of media, is that it, in terms of how they communicate with the marketplace? Tell us a bit about that, the main focus in itself.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it's the act of, you know, looking for a new job or looking for a new employer is a very digital one these days. So employer branding naturally is a very digital discipline. So it's less about, you know, the classic recruitment advertising that we see in newspapers or would have seen in newspapers quite a lot, and more about the production of digital media, social content, etc. And that's really because a candidate or a potential employee is much more likely to trust what a company's own people are saying rather than what an advert would say.
Right. And is that also something that, let's call it, the millennials are very interested in nowadays, where it's said that they're kind of looking well beyond the job specification nowadays? They want a little bit more. So is that certainly part of what companies, countries, cities are tapping into?
Yeah, it would be. So, you know, obviously, I mean, I think there's a myth out there, for one thing, that millennials aren't interested in money. They are interested in money, but their breadth of interest is probably wider than just that. So, you know, people talk about the purpose or the mission of a company, which is very important to millennial candidates in particular. What is that company all about as an organization in terms of how it interacts with its community, with its own people, and the kind of business that it does? So that's a particularly important trait to that market.
Okay, right. So it's all about winning hearts and minds, if you like. Isn't that really what...
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think that's something that is mirrored in the broader area of marketing. And really, you know, when we talk about employer brands, we should actually begin talking about just the organizational brand. So whether you're an employee or a customer or an investor or even just a fan of the brand, really the brand should have the same values and communicate the same values just in slightly different ways to its particular market at that time.
Okay, so there's a certain set number of factors that need to be considered for a great employer branding concept or model, if you like, that you've seen can certainly attract better talent.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've quite a extensive research process that we conduct when we're working with a new client. So we look at we take a very holistic view of the organization. We talk about the four C's. So we talk about looking at the company itself. What is the company's own unique employer value proposition? We look at the candidate. What matters to that candidate? What's their motivations? What kind of things interest and drive them? We look at the competitors. That's the third C. So actually, what are the other companies in that sector or in adjacent sectors that are trying to attract the same talent? And then finally, we look at the broader culture. So for example, Ireland would have a very strong tech culture and tech ecosystem. So it's really important to understand how that influences candidates and influences the world the candidates are looking at.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And sometimes, as we say, it can go beyond the company corporate look and feel, if you like, in terms of attracting talent, and it can go into country or indeed city. And you've been very involved in an extraordinary project, and I had a look at your website earlier today, which is the Tech Life Story brand, if you like, which is a very interesting website and some very interesting factors that would attract people to work in Ireland. I know you've been very involved in the creation and the maintenance and the operational side of things of that. Can you tell us a little bit about how that's working?
Yeah, Tech Life Ireland is the name of the brand, and what it is the it's the National Technology Talent Attraction Initiative, which is a initiative that's launched by government and the state agencies in collaboration with industry, the ICT industry in Ireland. And its entire purpose and mission is to attract the very best of tech talent from overseas into Ireland to work in Irish companies. So an interesting one, I suppose, insofar as it blends what we call place branding or country branding with the employer branding area. So there's two big drivers here. One is the quality of the employers and the employer brands that make up our tech ecosystem. And the second driver then is the quality of life, the society, the values as well that Ireland brings to the overall proposition.
Right. Okay. So very interesting in terms of Atomic, in terms of the service and the agency itself, in terms of how you've managed to reposition and become thought leaders or pioneers in specific sectors, and no doubt you'll go from strength to strength with that. In terms of positioning, a very clever positioning, all in the marketing world. I'm going to introduce our next guest here today, which is Tom Noonan, and Tom's the marketing man with Java Republic. And really, in your market, its positioning is even more important, isn't it? Because being a significant growth market, it attracts a lot of players. And with a lot of players coming in, really to reap the harvest, you've got to continually reinvent and renovate, if you like, your offering to the marketplace. And Java Republic has certainly been at the cutting edge of that, certainly through my lens. But before we look at Java Republic, could you tell us a little bit about the hot beverage market in terms of what's happening there? What are the trends? What are the challenges and opportunities, most notably, I suppose, within tea and coffee?
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Ron. I really appreciate it today. In terms of trends and what's emerging within tea and coffee, to be specific, that's what we classify hot beverage as. I think coffee is at the forefront of that, and Dublin's right at the tip of what's going on. We've recently just had the World of Coffee, which is the world's largest coffee event in Dublin this summer. And whereas 4 or 5 years ago, you would have said that London and Berlin, cities like this, were way ahead of Dublin in terms of trends. Right now, Dublin's very much at the forefront. We see new coffee places opening every day. We see new coffee roasters opening up every month in Ireland. And I suppose the trend that's really emerging is people are willing to pay for quality. Where once upon a time, Ireland was an instant coffee nation. now it's all about quality. People are willing to pay for that quality. And to hark back to what you were talking about previously, we really see the millennials driving that. That the millennial generation is willing to pay for quality.
Right. And David, in his foresight, David McKiernan, that is, he set up Java Republic about, was it 20 years ago? Almost 20 years ago, yeah. Now. And you've won quite a few awards along the way, and you've done extremely well. And I believe some of the stats are frightening at the minute. They say this: we're drinking about 500 billion cups of coffee a year. So certainly it's continues to be a growth market. But one clever initiative that David had, and obviously it still continues to serve the company well, is the roastery out there in Ballycoolan. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so one of David's founding principles of the business was transparency. So anyone who's been out to our roastery in Ballycoolan will know it's a very transparent building. It's fully glass-walled into the roastery. We like to show you everything that goes on. As a coffee company, we're very open. We show you the green beans that come into us. We show you how we roast the beans, and you can see everything about us. And that's right at the DNA and the core of us as a company. We're a very transparent company that follows through into our ethical policies and our CSR. Coffee can be a murky industry. We make no bones about that, but we want to show everyone how we do it, to the point where David in the past has published our purchase price for coffee, which in the industry itself is completely unheard of, and at the time ruffled a few feathers. I suppose David would always consider himself the maverick of the Irish coffee industry, and doing things like that really pushed the boundary, and it set a stage for what's followed in terms of the coffee roasters that we see opening these days. David really did set the platform in the late 90s for these guys to move on to where they are now.
Okay, and I had a good fortune to go out there myself some time back. It was one of my better decisions, a better ways of spending a Saturday morning, and we were given total exposure to how the whole operation worked, and we were given ideas on how to make a better coffee and that. I mean, it was a terrific experience, I must say. It was all part of, I suppose, my own interest in coffee, my own little education, if you like. But that's certainly a part of your business now as well, is this whole idea of educating consumers and probably move beyond the trade now. Is that a fair point to make?
Yeah, trade is still our bread and butter, and we'd always say we're only as good as the last coffee one of our customers has made. So education in the trade will always be a huge part for us, but we want to be seen as an educator to the end consumer as well, and we invest time, money and people in that. And it's very important, because as coffee turns from just a product into more of a lifestyle, people are more hungry for information, more hungry for knowledge and education, and we want to be at the forefront of that. So from simple things online, like brew guides of how to make the perfect coffee at home using different apparatus, people want to move away from the put a spoon in a glass jar and make instant coffee, and they're willing to spend their own time, energy and money into making really good coffee at home, and we want to be there to help them do that.
Right. And even on going back to the trade side of things, you haven't given up on that by any means. I was coming back from London there on Monday, and I noticed on Aer Lingus I was handed a Java coffee. So obviously you're still strengthening your connections in that particular network, trade as distinct from consumer. Was it difficult to become part of the Aer Lingus offering, if you like?
We worked very hard for a while with Aer Lingus to get the offering right. Traditionally, on board, you receive a cup of instant coffee, whereas this is fresh ground filtered coffee that's prepared for you by the air hostess as she serves it to you. It's been a great coup for us. We're very proud of it. Putting our cup into people's hands up in the air, both domestically and internationally, has really served to help us increase our footprint. And we can see that reflected into our trade business just through the sheer volume of people who are telling us what a great product it is on board.
Yeah. And I've noticed that it attracts other countries as well in terms of stocking and selling your product. And I noticed that the Middle East is a market you're having a look at currently.
Yeah, that's something we've been entering into in the last 12 months, I suppose. But that's a slightly different sector of our business, in that coffee is very difficult to export, because if you want to export coffee, you have to play with machinery, you have to offer machinery, you have to offer training, servicing of machinery, where we have a really world-class range of teas, 100% organic range of teas, and tea is a much more simple proposition, insofar as we pack our teas in what we call hand-stitched silken tea pillows, that contain 3 grams of real leaf tea that David spent almost 3 years sourcing from every corner of the world. And that has allowed us to take our first step into international markets. And specifically, as you mentioned, Ronan, the Middle East. We spent some time in Dubai this year. We're exploring Saudi Arabia and other markets in that region.
Okay. And the tea is an interesting one, all right. And you can see how it could open up and be a springboard or platform, if you like, for entering new markets just because of the difficulties and the complexities of coffee, if you like, as a product in itself. So tea has been a very interesting product extension or brand extension for yourselves. And I was reading there by the end of this year, you'll have something like 46 different types of teas on offer to our consumers?
Yeah, there's a whole world of tea. Much in the same way that Ireland is traditionally an instant coffee drinking Americano nation, we're very much traditionally a builder's tea nation. But there is a universe of tea. And to go back to what we referenced previously, we want to be an educator when it comes to this sector of the market, from green teas, white teas, herbal teas. I'm sure a lot of the listeners have branched out recently. And again, to harp back to that millennial generation, we're much more conscious of health, well-being, and we're willing to pay for those products that are going to give us that sense of health and well-being. And tea, in particular organic tea, is a perfect fit in that market sector, both domestically and in international markets.
Right. So there's a danger, of course, when you go into that traditional sector, that it would be a me too type of product. And Java Republic have been very clever in many ways in terms of recognising the interest in tea, but also having a slightly differentiated offering and being very clever, certainly in terms of the packaging of the tea. And tell us a little bit about that, because it seems to be one of your great strengths at Java Republic.
Well, after spending so long sourcing such good product, we wanted to make sure we were presenting it in a way that was particularly appealing to the consumer. So our tea comes packaged in boxes of 15, and within each pack is each individual pillow is within an envelope. So it's single serve. And that's about freshness. For us, it's all about freshness. It's about preserving the product that's in each one of those envelopes. Because when you're sealing it in, you're sealing in the goodness of the product. And then it allows us to push our brand in different areas as well. So be it in food service, where you're seeing our brand in the boxes, where you're seeing it in the envelopes, where you're seeing it on the individual pillows with the little tags at the bottom that shout Java Republic. And the quality of that product very much reflects back to the quality of our brand. And that's what we're all about.
And in terms of pushing the brand, more recently I've seen that you've moved into the retail space yourselves. You've two outlets now, is that right? One in Malahide, one in Molesford Street?
Yeah, we actually have three when you count our own roastery as well. So at the roastery, as you'll know, we have an extremely busy restaurant cafe. We have a good catchment area. And the reason, I suppose, we've opened additional outlets in Molesford Street and Malahide is we want to get to know the consumer more. So we know our trade market very, very well. We know our customers very, very well. But we want to get to understand the consumer at a new level to allow that to help us develop our business. Because we feel if we can understand our end consumer, we can help our customers then understand theirs better. And we can live at the forefront and right at the edge of the trends that are emerging in the market.
So it's not a franchise model as such. It's you getting closer to your customer, and it's owned and operated by Java Republic?
Absolutely, yeah. And a franchise for us isn't really an option. We want to control what we're doing. We want to serve world-class coffee and tea at every interaction, and in our own premises, that there's no more important place than to do it there.
Okay, so interesting. And will you be opening more, do you think?
I don't think so, in the next while. For the moment, it's about getting our offering right. So if we can show our customers, here's our offering, and here's how we think this is the best in class, we can allow them garner learnings from what we're doing on a small scale, and then scale it up to our wider customer base.
Okay, yeah. It's on the whole idea of retail. I had an interesting experience myself over in the States. I was in Columbus, Ohio on a business project over there, and I had some downtime and I went into a coffee shop, as you do, and I was handed this card, and it basically said to me, if you visit the next four coffee shops, which are all within walking distance of where we are, and you get to the last one and you've got your final stamp of five, we'll give you a free t-shirt with the Columbus Coffee Experience printed on the front, which was all sponsored by the local tourist board, which I thought was an interesting initiative because everyone was a winner. I was a winner, although high as a kite at the end of it after five cups of coffee in an afternoon. But at the same time, obviously, we got to see a lot of Columbus, Ohio, and we also got to visit a number of different coffee houses. And so there was business for everyone. But equally, the tourist board got to see us have a little bit more exposure to what the town was. So an interesting initiative. You won't anytime soon be linking up with any of the independent retailers of coffee on something similar, no?
The coffee market is very inclusive, and we'd certainly be open to that in Dublin. We heard a disloyalty card being muted around the place 6 or 9 months ago, and it's something that piqued our interest, but nothing ever came of it. And that was a similar idea. that where every outlet on the list would take the same essentially loyalty card, and once you went and got your 10th coffee, it would be free no matter where you are. That sounds like a fun idea. Any coffee shops or roastery owners out there, we'd definitely be interested in exploring something like that.
There is a very nice Dublin coffee map that you can see around the place now, and some of the independent coffee shops, which is, you know, all these kind of premium coffee shops with a little illustration of where they are on the map, and a kind of a coffee trail, I suppose, almost developing there.
Very good. Okay, so they could take it to the next level, whereby they kind of encourage you to visit all the outlets and then get your T-shirt at the back end of it, hopefully sponsored by Dublin Tourism with a bit of luck. Right, interesting. Okay, so we're almost out of time, but before we wrap things up, Tom, obviously the expert on the beverage side of things, can you give some quick tips to our listeners, say on coffee? Why do you make a really good cup of coffee through your eyes?
Sure. I think there's a couple of things that are important. The first is obviously the coffee itself. So make sure you're using a really good coffee bean. And within Dublin, known as any excuse, there's so many super independent coffee shops. You can buy world-class coffee from ourselves, but bean is the first important thing. And then the second most important thing, invest in a good grinder. It doesn't have to be expensive. You can buy a great little grinder out there for €100. But the beans and the grind are the most important things. And then it's up to you how you want to make it. Make sure you're grinding the correct size and put it through your cafetiere. If you want to get fancy, call into one of the specialty coffee shops. Call into us in Moser Street. Our baristas will be more than happy to help you and ask them about AeroPress, V60, Chemex. There's a world of coffee waiting to be explored for an enthusiastic home barista.
Okay, and is there such a thing as burning the milk and burning the water, or is that...
Yeah, you're starting to get technical then. I think milk is probably beyond the average home barista, because you require a good espresso machine. But yeah, burning the water. Water is a huge part of coffee. So if you're putting actual boiling water on top of ground coffee beans, you will burn them. So for us, we would generally recommend let your kettle boil, let it cool for a couple of minutes. So bring your water down to somewhere around 85 degrees and brew from there. And that applies to both coffee and tea, whether that be your traditional breakfast builder's tea. Let your kettle come off the boil a little bit before you brew.
Okay, and if people wanted to upgrade their knowledge and expertise on that, you run some courses, isn't that right, in Java Republic?
We do indeed, yeah. We run accredited courses, so we believe that courses accredited to the Specialty Coffee Association of Europe is very important, because taking a barista course that has no bearing or relevance in your future life, it really isn't something you should do. So we run all Specialty Association of Coffee accredited courses, and you can find out much more on javarepublic.com, where you'll see all about our courses, and we're more than willing to field any questions.
Okay. And finally, then, if I just hand back to Niall once again, obviously an expert in the branding, advertising agency world. So you've seen a lot going on in terms of Java Republic, in terms of the packaging and positioning and marketing. Through your eyes, if you were to give Tom and indeed our listeners, you know, what is at the forefront of good branding and marketing nowadays, what would be front of mind there?
I think the Java Republic brand is a really strong one. I mean, even just in the visual sense, in terms of its packaging and its presence, like you say, on the Aer Lingus service, very strong brand. I think from my point of view, I was saying to Tom earlier, like, I live and work around the Camden Street, Angel Street area, where a lot of these new independent coffee shops serving very high quality coffee are present. The very high density of them around there. But, you know, perhaps the quality is getting so strong that there's almost a kind of a homogeneity kind of coming into the market again. And I suppose, you know, it's up to brands and organizations like Java Republic to figure out what's the next big thing, what are consumers looking for, how are tastes changing. You know, there's a kind of a fruitiness coming out in coffee that is almost the norm in some of these coffees. And is there a new taste profile that people are looking for, the kind of richness that we maybe would have associated with coffees from our youths? Is that, you know, is there a vogue for that again, etc.? So understanding those consumer tastes and consumer profiles is all important.
Yeah, I think you're right in the mark there. The Irish palate has evolved, especially with coffee, and that fruitiness, or what the industry would term, I suppose, as a lighter roasted coffee, is coming more to the fore, and not becoming just part of the fuzz is very, very important for coffee companies. And that's why we look constantly to innovate and to develop with new products. That's why, Ron, we are coming with a big new range of teas. That's why we've revolutionized our coffee offering in the last 12 months, and staying on trend and staying at the forefront of consumers' wants and needs, along with bringing coffee and food closer together, is very, very important to us.
Yeah. I remember reading an article where it was an interview with the MD of Sony some time back, and the MD said basically the two most important functions in the business for Sony at the time was innovation and marketing. And he said every other function in the business revolves around that. I'm sure he had his critics with that particular comment, but I think it is true, and I think it's served both Atomic and indeed Java Republic very well, the fact that you are very innovative and world-class, certainly at marketing, really, really top dollar, as they say. So if people want to explore more about Atomic in terms of DNA and Atomic Sport, what's the best port to call, please?
Well, we've two separate websites actually for football, sport, and DNA. So we've one which is for the employer branding area, it's atomicdna.ie, and then for Atomic Sport, it's atomic-sport.com.
Okay, and Tom, indeed, for Java Republic, where can we go to find more about how to make a good cuppa and more about what's going on at Java Republic?
You'll find a lot of information about us on javarepublic.com. If you're a food service customer that would like to talk to us, please find our details there. And if you're someone looking for great coffee, tea, or coffee supplies, log on to our shop on javarepublic.com, and you can use a discount code #TealoversTea, and we'll give you 20% off your first order.
Okay, all right. Well, my special thanks to Niall and indeed Tom for coming on the show. A pleasure to have you with us and giving us some very interesting insights into the advertising industry and indeed the hot beverage market. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and have a great weekend.